Okay, so last week, I loved our discussion last week. It was a lot of me talking, but I wanted to follow up. And if you don't remember from last week, and then we'll go into the update to this, our update for this week. But last week we talked about Venus, and we also talked a lot about the woman with the issue of blood. And we talked about Venus kind of in a different light. And that was the phrase, "Your faith has made you whole." And if you remember, I showed you all the verses where that phrase is said by Jesus throughout Scripture. And in almost every instance, it's in response to someone reaching out to him in maybe somewhat unconventional ways. Enos goes out to the woods and he prays all the day long for forgiveness and remission of his sins. The woman with the issue of blood, the best thing she can think of is, if I can just stretch as far as I can and just touch even just the hem of his robe, I know I'll be healed. And that was kind of a, you know, different thing, a different way to reach out to him. And the blind men, like, they're blind and they're sitting by and they just call out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And he says that your faith has made you whole. And so the point being is that that faith or action, intention, trust or confidence in Jesus Christ, whatever action we take in him, whatever confidence we have in him, that has, even if it's our own meager, just small way of reaching out to him, can make us whole. And so I wanted to follow up and just ask you, in the last week, how have you reached out? How have you reached out and taken action or expressed trust or even confidence in him, even in your own small, measly way? And how has that helped you kind of become whole? Has anybody tried that within the last week or even the last little while? Yeah, to reach out? Yeah, Sammy.
So, as many of you know, this week we came to next week our finals.
Yeah.
Super hard anatomy class. Like, and I had this huge log, this huge, like, final assume for, like, basically, in order to go, like, a label of legend right in front of the body, that had to be able to tell if it's an artery or a muscle or... Anyway, and I was super, super stressed out about it. And I have a feeling that every time I should study before the test, I should say,
yeah.
And my father's like, help me remember the stuff I'm learning, or if I like get something to help, like find a way that's easier for me to remember it. And I think it amazed me before the test. I'll tell you that.
It's okay.
I found a lot of peace, like, taking that test. There's a lot of, like, people, like, some people, like, stressed out, and, like, well, there's no real crime. And I just felt a lot of peace, like, okay, like, maybe I don't know the answer to this, but if I don't, it's okay. It's not that in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, no. And it was just so common. Like, you know, that peace, like, hey, I've been you.
That is awesome. It's so, isn't he so good? Just peace amidst the storm. It's good. It's really great. Thanks, Sammy. Yeah, D-Ray. And then Sister Childs. Okay.
As much as I've been, like, trying my best to avoid even saying the finals. kind of what Sammy was saying reminded me. It's like, man, it just looms like a storm cloud, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, anyways, we'll buy the end. Vent about it then. So this semester, and kind of something I've always done, I know in the Bay has a different way than they keep the Sabbath holy. And it's just like, I've never believed in, at least for me, I'm not saying DMA has to do this.
Right.
I've never liked studying or doing homework on Sundays.
Sure.
And I think just with it coming up, like, I was so tempted last Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, I have so much crap to study through, you know?
Yeah.
And, but up to this point, like, I haven't, and it's going, I wouldn't say perfect, but it's going pretty well this semester, right? And so that, plus the fact that, like, man, I've been doing this for so long, like, I need to have a bit more trust. And I was thinking about Venus and, also about blue the vineyard, because I know it's a vineyard blood, but, like, I feel like there's no real excuse for me right now, just because it was the final, it's hard to slowly decay. And ooh, this week I felt, after that, I felt my studying become a lot more effective, because of it. And hopefully it keeps that way, but that's something I've asked.
That's powerful, man. Jacob 5, right? Could just be a model for, it is a model for our lives. And if we're tempted to say, like, why did you put me in this poor spot of ground? Don't you know I have finals coming up, right? What's the Lord going to say? Remember that phrase that he said? Counsel me not. I knew. I knew it was going to be done, right? You think it's up to you to study today to produce fruit? Wrong, right? It's not. We can produce fruit. Same with Sister Childs and then Avery and then...
Selena.
Selena, that's right. Okay, yeah.
So one of the hardest things that I've struggled with on my mission is getting back up after missing a few days of like scripture reading or, you know, maybe not spending my infancy time in the best way. Because whenever I kind of pull off the verse, I'm so scared. And if I pray, God is going to be like, you'll be audacity to speak to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Something that I just really struggle with. And I'm like, if I pray, I'm just going to get like, y'all have God. Like, I'm like, I don't feel worthy. It's the weirdest thing.
But, no.
So I was like, I just need to pray. I just need to pray. So I was going into it, being like, I need a change, but also I really needed some cheese because it was so bad. Like, obviously, I couldn't continue to do what I'm doing, not bring my scriptures and doing the right things as a missionary. And so I just pray just with real, real intent. Like, I mean, Father, I am so, so sorry that I have kind of, I don't know, not like fallen off the path, but just have lost focus. Or I'm so sorry. What do I need to change? What can I do? Oh, I'm so sorry. And I wouldn't expect them to get like, oh, you need to change a lot. You need to change this.
Yeah.
But I got this just overwhelming feeling of peace and God's purpose. He was waiting there, so he used to love me. He was waiting there to tell me, yes, like, I love you. But let's look at what's going to a different direction. Not you, like, you changed so bad and you can't put my love until you change. And so it's just, that's just a testament to me that God is there, nothing but hold on us, and he's always there waiting for us to do that. So. And it was, that happened by a simple prayer. It wasn't 3 hours of scripture study, 3 hours of prayer, and it was.
It's perfect. Thank you, Sister Child. Super. Well, it's exactly what we talked to. I know you weren't here last week, but this is that story. Here she is. She feels healed and she's over the moon, you'd imagine. And then he says, well, who touched me? And in that next second, the scriptures say that she was, remember the two words? Fearing and trembling. Oh, that was so stupid. He's going to get so mad at me because this was such a dumb idea. I never should have come here, right? Like, he's going to point his finger and tell me all the ways that I'm wrong and unclean. I need to change. And instead, he just reaches down and just, I love that word, just daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, not just with the illness, but like whole, peace, right? Love, wholeness. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's this child. That's great. It was Avery and then Selena, right?
You're talking about the vineyard.
Yeah.
You were talking about that. And last time we wrote down the definition of whole.
Yeah.
Was it Greek?
Yep.
Greek definitions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was to save from death.
Save from death. Yeah.
And things like that. And it was just so similar to the Lord of the Vineyard saving trees.
It's good.
And I just couldn't stop thinking about that all week. And then I was like, well, how can that like help me? Because the trees aren't necessarily doing much to reach out to him. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just thought about it and I tried to be a trusting tree.
Just like, I know.
I see that there's bad things coming, you know, I make mistakes, but if you trust in the Lord that he'll help you, just change one. I felt a lot more peace.
I love it. I love that so many of you have experienced peace in the last week as you've thought about this. Thanks, Avery. It's really great, man. Yeah, Selena.
So there's something that I've been struggling with, and I'm still struggling with it.
And one of the things I've been taught was to go out and serve them.
Okay.
And so out of the blue, I just felt like, you know, I got to go serve this person. So I just decided to call them and just talk and just let them vent. Finally, not my mom, after we got through that whole, they're struggling, that tough, the doctors, and they kind of like wanted to figure out how I was doing. And I finally opened up and I said, and this is what I'm struggling. And they really sat down and really talked to me about the gospel and just really like the, just for the natural man is an enemy to God and has them to fall Adam will be forever unless he yields to the tithes of a Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Is up the mesh for that man and becomes a saint through the atonement of Jesus Christ. So her illustration was, these are natural man. You got to overcome it, work at it, and overcome it. And I realized that's so helpful, all because I just decided to serve her. And then yet it felt like she was serving me more than I was serving.
It's beautiful, right? It's incredible. What an incredible example. Perfect for this week's discussion in Mosiah. It's so good. Any remaining comments just from last week's discussion?
Yeah. I just wanted to like say something. I'm not like graduated yet. I'm still a senior, but this is kind of like a tumultuous year, like lots of big decisions and
sure.
And an equal amount of uncertainty. And like one thing I kind of done to trust is, I mean, I've been like applying to like colleges and figuring out mission timing and everything. And the same phrase keeps coming back to my mind is like, the Lord is the author of my faith. The Lord is like the author of my life.
Yeah.
And I sincerely feel that like, the Lord has a plan for me. And he knows how my book will end. And he knows what I need to do in order to get that. And so just to trust in my Abba. Is it kind of
help? Yeah. And faith could be that trust or confidence to take action, but it's also could be that trust or confidence to allow his will to happen. Like Avery mentioned, you know, it's maybe that faith or trust or that confidence is just to allow him to prune you, that God is the gardener. He is the author. You're not writing your own story. He is, right?
Yeah.
And you can't prune yourself, but he will. And you just got to trust him that he's doing it and he'll do it right every time to produce fruit. It's good, man. So good. I don't do this often, but I wanted to, as we kind of put not a cap, but kind of a somewhat of an ending to this discussion, I did want to show you just a brief scene of this, the woman with the issue of blood, because I just love the story so much. And I just want you to imagine yourself reaching out to Jesus and maybe like Sister Childs mentioned, maybe some of you are nervous to do that or afraid to do that because of whatever. Maybe it's mistakes. Maybe it's shortcomings. Maybe it's just human, the natural man that we're trying to overcome. I have to have you say, now this is a dramatic portrayal. I want to be clear, but I need you to just see his reaction. Well, I believe is his reaction, okay? Whoever's closest to the lights back there, can you just flick those lights off? Selena, can you flick those lights off?
Hopefully the sound will work, and if it doesn't, we'll move on. But if it doesn't work, it's worth it. Oh, yeah.
Oh gosh. Everybody back. I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing me all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward, teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise. Cover not in cream.
Why am I done?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment, that I was right.
Who told you I could hear?
A man from the poem. And he was right. The man is easy.
My daughter.
I'm not so there anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know, but it wasn't this. It was your faith. She was bleeding so long. We can take her. She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. I'm so glad that we found each other.
Y'all gotta go watch The Chosen. This is your... This is your note from God telling you.
Can I get the likes, please? Thank you. I just want to... I'm going to share something short after this, but I didn't anticipate this taking so much time, but I just testify that what you feel is true. And if that brought you comfort, the idea of Jesus and your faith making you whole, just take, again, your action, your confidence, your trust in me has made you whole. If that brought you comfort and you felt something, that's the whole Holy Ghost telling you is true. And that peace, right, that so many of you mentioned is a reality. He's not going to point fingers and make you feel so bad or feel so dumb. That's not what Jesus does. And I'm just so grateful that we have the scriptures that tell us about this Jesus that can bring us peace when that storm cloud, like D-Ray said, is just looming. Whether it's finals or illness or heartbreak or whatever. I just testify of that. And like President Hunter said here, that whatever Jesus lays his hands upon lives. If Jesus lays his hands upon a marriage, it lives. If he's allowed to lay his hands on the family, it lives. Avery mentioned the definition of whole. The Greek word is sozo. And when he says, and that is a correct translation as well, when he says, go thy way, thy faith has made thee well. The Greek also means to preserve, rescue, save from death, or keep alive. Your action, your confidence, your trust in him, even as meager it is, measly as it is reaching out to him, is the very thing that can preserve you when you're doing an MBA. And it's super hard when in your future marriage you have miscarriages. It's the very thing that will rescue you from addiction. It's the very thing that will even save you from death, spiritual death, and keep you alive, is that action, that trust or confidence you have in Jesus. It's just your faith.
Oh.
Faith is just action. It's your expressing your confidence or trust in him. So the scriptures are full of those examples, and reach out to him. I want to just give you one thing from this week's reading, and it's timely. And I don't know. I don't know if it's the message you really want to hear right now. But we need to talk about it anyway, okay? So I want you to turn to, hold on here. I want you to turn to, we'll start in Mosiah chapter 4, okay? Go to Mosiah chapter 4. Okay, so it's really hard to pick anything particular, you know, to focus on from King Benjamin's address. It's so good. The whole thing. If you haven't read it yet, go read it, right? It's amazing. I'm sure all of you have read it many times, but how do you pick it apart and how do you do it in 20 minutes? You just can't. So I want to just focus on one thing. And we talked a little bit about pride back in Jacob, but I want to just reiterate something here because it can be difficult to, we talk a lot and I've talked a lot in this class about hearing him. Right now, a lot of you are on the brink of finishing the school year. Some of you are on the brink of graduation. Some of you are on the brink of new programs, new jobs, getting married. Like, these are big deals. And you probably, some of you, a lot of you, finishing missions, whatever, going on missions. A lot of us in here probably right now, even though finals are hard, you know it's coming to an end. And after that, there's this high, okay? Right? You're just going to be on this high. And it's going to be great. And you're going to feel just so good. And you're going to feel so blessed. And you're just going to be rejoicing. I just want to throw in a little cautionary tale from the Book of Mormon on how to hear him when the times are good. When your grades were great. And you were student of the year at your college. And you got into the program you wanted. And how do I continue to hear him when times are good? How do I not let it turn from, okay, I've been righteous, and after righteousness always comes blessings, and then always prosperity, especially in the Book of Mormon. You'll see that in one way or another, prosperity comes. Now, the tricky thing here is that prosperity, most, not all the time, but a lot of the time, that prosperity will turn into pride, which then can turn into sin or rebellion, and sin always leads to pain. It always does, or destruction or suffering or whatever in one way or another. And that pain usually leads us to humility. I say usually, we'll come back to that in a minute, which then can lead us to repentance, which can then lead us to righteousness. A lot of us right now, even though it's finals and it's hard, are probably going to be in a state of prosperity pretty soon, whether it's with graduation or new jobs, or something exciting happening, being engaged. It's a moment of prosperity. Maybe it's literal prosperity. I'm making some money now. I'm graduated from college. I've got a real job and all that. And the trick here is, how do you not let this happen? And King Benjamin tells us how. In fact, what if, instead of just being beholden to this cycle, what if I told you in the Book of Mormon, there was a shortcut? What if I didn't have to go through this cycle? What if I didn't have to go to pride and sin and pain? What if instead of from prosperity, my prosperity making me prideful, which we'll learn about more in just a second, but what if my prosperity led me to humility? And this was a cycle. And even better, what if my prosperity not only led me to be humble,
but kept me from this sight. Because sometimes our pain doesn't lead to humility.
Sometimes our pain leads to what? More pride. More sin. You met people like that? They're pretty miserable, right? And they're stuck in their own little cycle. So I want to give you just one thing to remember while you're on top of the world. Because we seek and we yearn, right? Like Sister Child said, when things are hard and the storm's there, like D-Ray said, and it's just dark and it's scary. And I just, when those things are hard, we just really want to hear from Jesus so bad. And we're just like, here, I want to talk to you. I'm praying. I'm reading and everything. And then times are good. And what happens? Like, I just forget to pray. Don't read my scriptures for like 2 months, right? Everything's just fine. Hopefully not 2 months, but maybe a couple of days. But like, you know, we just kind of forget. It's like really hard actually to hear because we get that prosperity and it turns us kind of prideful. So check this out. Here's what I want you to remember. Go back to Mosiah chapter 4 and look at this. Here's the recipe for the shortcut from going from prosperity to humility to repentance, to righteousness, to blessings, prosperity, humility, and letting that be its own cycle. Go to Mosiah chapter 4, and then we'll go back to chapter 3 in just a second. But Mosiah chapter 4, we're going to start in 12, and then 13, we're going to go 12 through 16, okay? Can we just start over here with Ben? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, okay? All right. All right, just start us off, and I'm not going to give you the key yet, but just listen for the blessings, and then we'll find out the answer here. Go ahead, Ben, verse 12.
And behold, I said to you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain the remission of your soul. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true.
It's beautiful. So if you do this, now I'm not going to tell you what that is yet, but if you do this, this one thing, you shall always rejoice and you'll be filled with the love of God and you'll always retain a remission of your sins and you'll grow in a knowledge and glory of him who created you. That sounds pretty great. I'm not going to tell you what that thing is yet. Okay, verse 13.
The angel of the Lord with the Lord peaceably, and surrender to every man according to that which is.
Beautiful. Again, if you do this thing, you will not have a mind to injure one another. So you won't have, you won't go to pride here, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his. That sounds great. Okay. So far, Ainsley, go ahead.
And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, who is a master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, keeping and enemy to all righteousness.
Okay, so again, this isn't necessarily him saying this is a commandment. He's saying this is a byproduct. If you do this thing, then you won't suffer that your children should go hungry or naked, and neither will you suffer they transgress or fight. Okay, that's a byproduct. It's not saying it's a commandment. It's a byproduct of this one thing, which I'll tell you in a second. Tanner, go ahead.
But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one.
Okay. Again, if you do this one thing, you avoid pride and this whole part of the pride cycle. Okay. All right. Next one.
And also ye yourselves will succor to those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer in your substance unto him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish.
Okay. So you're on top of the world. You're prospering. How do you avoid all these things? How do you get all these blessings? What's the one thing? Look back in verse 11. Okay. Look back in verse 11. Can I get a reader to start and read verse 11 for us? Let's hear the one thing. Alec, do you mind reading that for us? Go ahead, brother.
And again I say unto you, with my hand said before, that as ye have come to an oath of the glory of God, but ye have known this goodness and have tasted of his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such seeing and great joy in your soul. Even so, I would.
Here you go. Here, I would that. Okay, keep going, Alec.
And always retain in your events to be great. You know, gold, righteousness, and his goodness, and love suffering towards you. I'm one of the creatures and
humble.
humble yourselves, even in the depth of humility, calling on the name more areas, standing steadfast in the faith of that which was spoken quite enough of
you. You guys see the secret there? Do you see the shortcut? Verse 11, it's two parts. It's one thing, but there's kind of two parts, right? Even so, I would that you should what? Remember and always retain in remembrance the what? Number one, greatness of God. If you always remember the greatness of God, and secondly, what? Your own nothingness and his goodness and his long-suffering towards you and all of that, then verse 12, there's all those promises. If you do this, you'll always rejoice, be filled with his love, retain a remission of your sins. Verse 13, in other words, if you do that, number one, you're good with him this way. You're good with him always. End of story, period. There it is. You want to be good with God always? Remember that he is great. And remember your own nothingness. Like even the air you breathe is a gift. I thought of this just yesterday, like as I was driving and it was a beautiful sunset. And I'm like, just all these people driving home and the sunset and stuff. And I'm like, we all just take for granted that the sun is just gonna be there. We just do. God could literally just turn it off in an instant. But we just go up throughout our days just thinking this is just great. And look all the great things I did at work today. And it's like, no. All of this, even the air you breathe, is a gift from him. If you do this, you're good with God. And in verse 13, you're good with who else?
Beautiful.
Everybody else. If you just remember that God is great and your own nothingness. Let me show you an example from Jesus' own life where he did this. This is so good. Even Jesus exemplified this. Go to DNC 19. Okay. Go to DNC 19. And this is so good. This is one of the best. This just shows Jesus' character so well. So if you go to DNC 19. So Jesus doesn't talk about his own suffering very often. In fact, this is one of the only places that he does. And he goes into detail because he has to. But then I want you to see what he does there. Okay. So let's go section 19. And I want you to look at verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Hey, where will it? Hannah, do you mind reading? Hannah, sorry, 15, 16, 17.
I read.
15, 16, 17, Ethan, Mitch, 18. Okay, do you have that? Okay, there we go. Hannah, go ahead.
Therefore, I command you to repent, lest I smite you by the rod of my mouth, and by my wrath, and by my anger. Your sufferings be sore, how sore you know not, how exquisite you know not, yea, how hard to bear you know not.
So he's describing his suffering. Again, he's talking about his own experience. He doesn't do this very often. He's like, this was tough. You don't know how hard this was. Now, was the atonement, was his atoning sacrifice a great accomplishment? Huge, like bigger than anything any of us will ever, ever dream of doing, right? Huge accomplishment. It's so hard you don't even know, right? Sariah, verse 16.
Behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer, they would repent.
Pretty cool. Like, okay, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And Ethan, 17.
Oh, quick question.
Yes, sir.
God has suffered, like, so he, when we say suffer, do we mean, like, have given us?
In his atoning sacrifice. Garden and the moss, yeah. Yeah, 17, go ahead.
But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as...
Okay, and 18, Mitch.
Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and one that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink.
Ha, 19, nevertheless, glory be to the Father, I partook, and finish my preparations into the children of men. Look at verse 18. This caused me, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, bleed at every pore. I didn't want to have to drink this if I didn't have to. And then notice that big fat hyphen at the end of verse 18. That's one of the most brilliant uses of punctuation, I think, in all the scriptures.
What does that hyphen do? What does he do from 18 to 19?
He cuts himself off.
He cuts himself off, doesn't he? He's talking about it, and it's almost, well, describe it more to me, D-Ray. Why do you think he does that?
Well, I think, I don't know. He just, I feel like when he was revealing this to Joseph, he was like, you don't need to know this part. And I think he was going, he was like, that's actually not significant.
It's not significant, and it's not about who? It's not about me. Verse 19, glory to the Father. Even Jesus, I want to be careful here, but even him is like, God is great. And to an extent, even him, I'm nothing. All to the Father. This suffering is not me. Can you see where he, I mean, blessings, prosperity, humility, not that he needs to repent, but you can see even with Jesus's own mind, his example here. Let me give you just a couple more quick examples. So some of you have seen this picture before. This was 2010, I want to say, at Alta, or the State Football Chance. And so
it's kind of a crappy picture. I know it's a crappy picture, but yeah, they were the state champs, and the guy you see there with the spotlight on him received the highest award in Utah for football. The Deseret News Mr. Football Award is what it's called. Okay, I know. He's Mr. Football. So the Deseret News, and he was great. Like, Alta won the state championship because of him. Like, let's just be real. He was very good. He went on to play for the U, got injured, and that was the end of his football career, but that's okay. Anyway, Deseret News goes out to Alta to take his picture. And this is like his crowning event, crowning moment in his high school career. And he insists on this picture being taken. And I don't know if you guys can see it that well over there. Ethan, can you flick off the lights? Maybe you can see it a little better over there. This is the picture he insists on being taken. He's a running back. There you go. Yeah, there's five other guys right in front of him.
The boys in the trench.
Exactly. That's so. He says, this is the only picture that we can't, this is the only picture I'll take. Yes, I was, what I did, what was accomplished was great, but it wasn't me. Let's be clear. I just think that's such a cool example. What happened here at Alta was great, but and I'm happy to be a part of it. It wasn't me. I feel so much the same. And I, you know, who knows what will happen if this class moves or not. I'm not going anywhere. I'm teaching this class wherever it is. But I just want to speak openly with you for a second. Like, this is crazy. I could have never dreamed that this would be my life. Here teaching 50, 60, 70. We've had as much as 94 kids here on a single night. And that's super humbling to me. And I'm not some scriptural genius. I'm not like a professor. There's so many people that I could just give thanks to, especially you that have come here and just supported this class. And I, as you guys know, because you've taught plenty on your missions and at home, in your wards and families, you always know that person teaching always learns the most. And this job really is for me. And I'm thankful to God for it. I'm just thankful to you. And I'm thankful for so many others. Like,
I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but I mean, I put together some pictures of people that have got me to the point where I am. And these people mean everything to me. His name is George Napel. He is like a father figure to me. He's an attorney. He's one of my young men's leaders from when I was in high school. This is Dr. A. Bashishi of the U. This guy changed my life. This is Dr. Schungart at the U. She also had a huge impact on me that she'll never know. Dr. Cherie Josephson, who was my main master's degree mentor. She's a wonderful writer. This is Brad Howell, who was one of the main ones who took a huge chance on me and hired me to teach seminary without having done any of the training classes. These two as well on the left,
Nate Burton and Jason Willard. Derek Sainsbury was my high school, one of my high school seminary teachers. He's now a professor at BYU, and he's brilliant. He's one of like the top three experts by Joseph Smith at church history in the world. And we're still friends. We went out to dinner just about a month ago. And this guy's one of my best friends. We're the same age. But he hired me right out of college to work on his mortgage team. And I knew nothing about mortgages. But he believed in me.
This is one of my bishops in one of my singles wards. Talked to them for hours on many late nights.
Oh, the guy with the beard.
Yeah. Yeah, not his son. This guy hired me to manage a sales team at his tech company. Some of you might know him. The Castillo's Order for People. Of course, you guys all know Bryce.
It's cool.
I have Bryce, not alone, but Bryce Dunford is a huge part of why I'm still here. He's been my personal mentor for the last 7 years. And so during the summer, I go and study the scriptures with him. So I'm not here on my own. And of course, people like my parents and so on, and my wife and everybody, like just the list goes on. I guess what I'm trying to say is it can be tempting when you're on top of the world to feel like you're invincible and you've got life figured out. And I could have never imagined that I'd be here with you doing this tonight. It was not in my career plans. It's not anything that I could have ever dreamed would happen. But I'll tell you this, it's way better. It's way better than any plans I could have had. And not just with just my job, like everything. My wife, I could have never imagined that I'd be married to Allie. I could have never imagined I'd live where I do, in the house that I'm in. Having the degrees that I have, the jobs that I've had, the career history, like none of it has gone really how I thought it would, but it's been so much better. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is God's great. And remember your own nothingness. Like I'm nothing. I'm glad that you've hopefully had a good experience in this class. But I am standing here on the shoulders of countless people. And we're all here for each other. And you'll have that same influence on someone, many people someday. And so I just want to say this, go to Jacob chapter 2 and then we'll end. But we didn't even touch Mosiah 2, but it's hope. King Benjamin is like the ultimate example of this. So go to Jacob 2. I just have to tell you this real quick. The other day I was trying to read the scriptures with the kids. Which is so hard, but like I was trying and I was like, do you guys know who King Benjamin is? And Finn actually reads his scriptures on his own, like every morning. It's really cute. Like, and he never wants to talk to me about it. So I don't really know. I don't know, but he does it. But he had read part of Mosiah. He just does this on his own. But he had read part of Mosiah a few months ago. And I was like, do you guys know who King Benjamin is? And he said just the coolest thing. Just makes me emotional. He was like, yeah, he was a really good king that loved his people. I just think that's so cool. Here's a king, right? That could have been like, look at me, as we'll see with King Noah, right? And several others in the Book of Mormon. But here's a king that just was like, oh, I'm not any better than you. I just want to help. I just want to serve you and make your life better. What an example. Who could have been, you know, that pride cycle, but he just cuts it right over to humility and just, he gets more blessings. Lastly, just a little bit of counsel from Jacob. I just love this. Verse 17, Jacob 2:17. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. And whether your substance is money, maybe it is, maybe your substance is just you've got an abundance of friendliness, or math knowledge, or kindness, or I don't know, making people feel loved, whatever it is, thoughtfulness, be free with it. As it says in verse 13, halfway down, all of you have obtained more abundantly of something than somebody else. All of you have. Now, it's not that you, as it says at the end of verse 13, are better than anybody, but it's so that in verse 20, end of verse 20, those gifts and talents and abundance that God has given you, verse 17, be free with your substance that they may be rich like you. Oh, I wish I could have been rich like some of my friends and the talents that they had. Let's share them, right? Verse 18, before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after you've obtained a hope in Christ, you shall obtain riches if you seek them. And if you'll seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive. I'm not saying that's all you got to do with your money or whatever your abundance is. But what I am saying is just let your success propel you to humility. Think of King Benjamin. Think of Finn talking about King Benjamin. He was a really good king. He just loved his people. Guys, I just testify that God is going to prosper you. You're going to be on top of the world. This room is full of just amazing people, and all of you are going to be wildly successful someday. If not right now, you all are, but especially as your lives get going, you'll see it. But it's especially then when we need to remember that God's not given this because I'm better. He's given it to me because to share it, to be a King Benjamin, and just to love and care for his people. And I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.